Welcome to Close Up Radio, where our hosts, Doug Llewellyn and Jim Masters, bring you the amazing stories of people who answered the call to unlock their potential and taken control of their own success with authenticity, creativity, persistence, and resilience. Close Up Radio special guests share their knowledge and wisdom so you, the listener, can live the most empowered life possible. Close Up Radio. And now, here's today's host, Jim Masters.
Thanks so much for joining us, everybody. We're live worldwide on Close Up Radio. It's a real pleasure to have you with us here on the broadcast. Also a real pleasure to have Robert Douglas joining us of Legacy Leadership, based in Tucson, Arizona. Robert has formed a coaching business that is a coaching business unlike any other. While he focuses on leadership, he does it in a way that sort of blurs the lines between business consultant and life transformational coach by helping people make new and better choices and identify the leader they were meant to be as opposed to the position they may have been assigned. He molds real champions. Robert is getting ready to retire from a long career in the United States Army that has involved leadership roles, and he says that the way they do things in the U.S. military service, not always a best-case scenario, assigning leadership titles based on education or length of deployment. People in the service must implicitly trust their leaders, and what a true leader should be earning the trust of their teams, and when they do earn that, it's golden. He believes a good leadership opportunity, really, and good leadership is more essential today than at any other time in our history, a time when influences are seemingly everywhere, thanks to regular and social media. He says we need to grasp the responsibilities that come with influence and leadership. Robert has put some of his insights into a book titled Leaders Make Time, Leadership, Philosophy Made Simple. He's going to discuss the book in our conversation here on Close Up Radio Live, including a favorite chapter called Cowards Always Say Yes, which addresses how to set healthy limits, say no with grace, and ensure that we are agreeing to do something we really can do. It's amazing. Creating those boundaries, one of the greatest things you can do for yourself, and investing in yourself is one of the greatest investments you could ever make in your lifetime. Let's welcome Robert Douglas to Close Up Radio Live for a fascinating, uninterrupted 30-minute live conversation coming up right now on Close Up Radio. Robert, a pleasure and a real honor to welcome you to the show. Thanks for joining us today.
Absolutely, John. Thank you for having me.
Oh, you're very, very welcome. It's a pleasure. I look forward to the conversation. You know, you once named your leadership coaching business Simple Steps. Is it really so easy to learn and become a better or more understood leader, Robert? And tell us, when and why, some of those details about that decision to start your own coaching business, best known by Leaders Make Time. What was it that inspired you to create it?
Well, Jim, I don't think it's necessarily as simple as everybody believes it to be. However, the steps that we take to get to where we need to be should be simple. And that's why I named it that in the beginning, because I didn't want people to feel overwhelmed because they feel that they need to be this awesome person up front to be a great leader, when in all reality, simple and small changes throughout the daily way that they engage with people makes the world of difference. And I started this business because I myself wanted to become a better leader, and one of the best ways that you can become a better teacher and leader is by teaching others what you have learned. And it inspired me, and it's part of why I'm where I am where I'm currently. I'm instructing students for the U.S. Army so that I can become a better instructor when I get out.
That's great. That's fantastic. To have an opportunity to do that, I know, is a blessing on so many different levels. On your website, there is a quote from Dr. Martin Luther King that includes the line, "Nothing pains some people more than having to think." And this quote about developing solutions has helped really shape your vision, Robert. Tell us about that quote and why for you and for all of us it's so impactful and meaningful.
Well, Jim, it takes me back to a further portion of what I do and what I bring to the table as a leadership coach, and that is my background in psychology. And I understand more often than any that we function from a unconscious level more than anything else throughout the day. And it pains us, the average person, to actually indulge in thought, to think of a different way of looking at something, to take into consideration points that have been made by other people. And we go through life in one of two manners. We are either telling ourselves this is how it's always been done, it's worked in the past, and this is how we're going to do it. And that may have been true when it first started, but unfortunately, as time moves on, everything evolves, and the way it's always been done isn't always going to be the best way to get it done. And we need to look for those new avenues, and that requires thought that we just don't want to give. And then there's those that are quietly led because they don't want to give the thought to what needs to be done to take control of their own life and to help influence those around them.
That's so important. Yeah, really, really is, Robert. You first learned leadership in the junior ROTC and then went into the Army after graduation. ROTC is such an incredible thing. I was through high school, I was in the Air Force junior ROTC, and it really is a great way to sort of create a foundation and an understanding, discipline, respect, understand civility, working hard. You spent many good years there within the Army, and you'll be retiring soon. What are some of the lessons you learned in the Army about leadership, and how did it help you discover your true path in coaching?
Well, there's many chapters in my book that are dedicated to some of the bigger lessons that I've learned throughout the Army. One of them is labeled Put 'em in, Coach, and it's a phrase that I often heard when I first made E5, which is the first leadership rank in the Army, big picture. And they were like, well, you're just going to have to learn on the job. We're going to put him in, and he's going to survive, and we're going to help him through it. And the military has really taught me that more often than not, we have a smaller scope of what we're possible, what we're capable of getting done, and what our potential really is. And we need an outside source to help push us to reach greater heights. And the military has never let up on me to see my full potential and what I'm capable of. And oftentimes, that means putting me in uncomfortable situations to make that happen. And the military is full of opportunities. The military has taught me that not every position is a qualified leader, but they still hold that title of leader. And that means that we have to take it upon ourselves to make sure that we're doing our best to mediate the influence that that person has around us.
Absolutely right. Yes, on so many different levels. It's, again, extraordinary training that you've had that sort of set up the stage for understanding what leadership's all about, and it really helped you discover this true path in coaching. Let's sort of pretend here that I'm one of the clients for your coaching business. What would be one of the first things you would ask your new client to help them, you know, start with this, but also what is the first thing you would ask to help assess one's real potential and define their future direction?
Well, Jim, that's a different case depending on whether it's an individual like yourself or a group. But when I have an individual, I like to dive deep into starting the questions of why do you want to be a leader? What kind of leader do you want to be? And what impact do you want to make as a leader? And then once I get into those details, which I'd be happy to hear your answers, Jim, I get into what leadership characteristic and style they have, because it feeds into so many aspects of who they are. So off the top of your head, Jim, do you know what leadership style you are?
I would say, you know, I have always been told, which is really quite cool, and I get what they're saying. A number of people over the years, especially in recent years, Robert, even some guests I've interviewed on close-up television and radio, I'm described as an understated leader, meaning I'm not necessarily like a Tony Robbins where it's all right, let's go, come on, rah, 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 get going, you can do it, come on, come on. I'm much more of an understated leader where I can come in and diffuse, you know, put out fires, bring people together, diffuse negativity, get people laughing, get people thinking, and diffuse tension and chaos and sort of get some of the crazy situations under control, just to be able to come in, put my emotions aside, and get the job done, but without saying I'm the one who did it, and without, you know, yelling and screaming and forcing, much more of an understated sort of I come in and I just see what the scenario is and find different ways to bring it all together. So a number of people have said, Jim, you're a leader, but you are definitely an understated leader. You're not coming in saying, guess what, I'm the leader, everybody sit down and keep quiet. You have a way of bringing them together in a very understated way, which I thought was really cool to hear that. A number of people have said that.
Well, of the eight characteristic styles, I would put you somewhere between charismatic and a transformational leader. Somebody who is comfortable speaking with people, but you're more focused on the transformation and the outcome of the event than you are in taking control of what's going on. And that also feeds into the manner in which you engage with the people that you describe, where they come in and they just start barking orders, or they want all the credit. They want to make sure that everybody knows that they did it. This understanding where you fall in that plays a role in how you engage with those people and how you view their leadership style. So from there,
you hit it on the head. That's a great analysis, Robert. You are so spot on with that. Yeah, you hit it on the head.
Well, and it's unfortunate that most people, they're given the tools, much like communication or time management, things of this nature. They're given the tools on how to be a leader, but they're never told what kind of leader they are. And most people end up mimicking the person to the left and right of them, not genuinely engaging with who they are as a person.
Right. And that makes a big difference. Absolutely. And once you're aware of it, you can grasp onto it, hold on to it, and then, you know, tweak it and accentuate it, which I think is so incredibly important. You know, you've said leadership too often feeds the ego, and it's about feeding one's ego. What is the more ethical and moral way to lead, and how does it affect relationships and productivity as well as employee culture?
Well, there's a really great quote that I've been giving my students over the years by John Wooden. It says, care more about your character than your reputation, because only one of them is within your control. And unfortunately, most of us, we walk around concerned about how other people view us, how other people understand our decisions. And we're more concerned with how other people are engaged in our leadership than we are with the virtues of our character. And if we were to allow ourselves to be the good person we need to be, the great leader, to operate off our character and not our reputation, we would be avoiding that feeding of the ego.
Yeah, it's about really stepping back and away from yourself and taking a look at how you're presenting yourself, right, exactly. And sometimes it's a wake-up call when you look in the mirror and you're like, gee, now I understand what everybody's saying. You know, if one of our close-up radio listeners is fascinated by the conversation and they want to order the book, and congratulations on the book. Writing a book is not always the easiest thing, but when you do it and become a published author, it's something really incredible. Leaders Make Time, Leadership Philosophy Made Simple. Where can they order the book, and where can they sign up for an early reader privilege? I guess, of course, the website, and can they go to Amazon.com as well?
So unfortunately, it's not on Amazon yet, but there is a link in my website under products that they can get to the book.
Tell us about the book. What was the inspiration, Robert, for writing the book? Who is the book for, and is it for anybody? And what was your vision, your mission in writing the book? What did you hope readers get from it and what they're left with?
Well, I'm going to be honest with you, Jim. I wrote the book on my phone, and I wrote it for me. However, once I started sharing my insights, a lot of my peers said, "We should turn this into a book. You seem very passionate about it." And in all honesty, from that point on, it's just been about trying to help as many people as possible see their potential in the realm of leadership in which they walk. Because one of the points that I've tried to get across to a lot of people is that everybody is a leader. It's just a matter of understanding the leadership role and the position that you play, whether it's a parent, a teacher, a influencer. Everybody has a role as a leader, even if it's just influencing one person. And we have to take accountability and responsibility for that. And the book was my way of not only sharing my insights, but also holding myself accountable.
What was the writing process like? You know, like I said, it's not always the easiest, writing a book, putting it together. How long did it take to actually write the book, and what was that whole process like for you?
It took me about 2 years to write the book in its entirety, and then it took me another 6 months to edit it, and then it took me another 8 to 9 months to publish the book. And my biggest pickup in why it took me the 2 years to write it was because I kept wanting to add revisions and I kept wanting to add to it. And a close friend of mine, she pushed me to remind me that nothing is ever perfect, and chasing perfect is only going to get you disappointed, and that I should just publish it and work on the second book.
That's important. Right. Just get it out there. And sometimes, you know, we could try to perfect things and it sort of gets in the way. Just let it ride, get it out there, and people will respond. People will pick up things from it. Now, you yourself, after undergoing a personal transition in your own life, you did a lot of self-exploration and a lot of reading and soul searching. And you were actually enthused by the teachings of gurus like Brene Brown, and soon came to the realization that you had yourself unique talents to share and a deep compassion for other people and a capacity for studying and applying leadership principles to life. Tell us about that, your own personal transition, getting from point A to point B, and how that really enhanced and changed your life, too, into a different direction.
Oh, yes, sir. It changed the manner in which I engage with the people around me, to the way that I instruct, to the way that I view my life as a whole. This journey didn't start with me understanding that leadership was my passion. It started with a background in psychology and a background in self-help and trying to better understand myself. Because I think that leaders need to take a step back and understand that I can't lead somebody until I know where I'm currently at and where I want to go. And I wanted to make sure that I was doing that self-check and that I was bringing forward the best possible version of myself before I started to really lead and engage with people and more or less take them down the wrong path that they weren't meant for. And getting into all of this, because I didn't start reading leadership books. I started with Escape from Freedom, The Gift. I started with Dare to Lead. A lot of these books, they're more conceptual in the manner in which how we treat people and understand people, which I think is a huge part of being a compassionate leader. And I just wanted to make sure that people understood that, which is why another one of my favorite chapters in the book is the AAA. We spend 8 to 12 hours with people, and more often than not, most engagements from leaders is a negative engagement. They're only correcting them. However, if we show them appreciation, approval, and affection, we're going to get much better engagement and productivity out of people than if we're only engaging when they've done something wrong.
That is so true, right? Oftentimes, you don't hear from folks unless there's something negative, there's something derogatory, something that, you know, the train is off the track a little bit, and then all of a sudden you hear from everybody, and you're like, well, where is everybody when things are going well, and where is, you know, when things are just moving along? And positive reinforcement and encouragement is essential, right? Not just verbalizing when you don't like something and when things are not exactly perfect, but also praising and sharing and reveling in the accomplishments when times are good as well, just as important, right? And sharing that with others.
Absolutely. That's why one of the classes that I teach is on how to give approval and appreciation in a more positive and productive manner, because most people, when they give approval and appreciation for, say, a finished product, they do so from the perspective of what they feel is the most valuable, not necessarily what the person feels is most valuable, and then it doesn't have the same impact.
Right, exactly. And that's a key thing for people to realize. The background in the military, and thank you for your many years of continued service, how, from your perspective, has that enriched the work that you do, and what kind of added benefit and perspective do you have that is an advantage for your clients as a result of being in the military and the experience gathered from your day-to-day experiences?
So I've had a very unique career in the sense that I've been able to work with the big three-letter agencies. I've been able to engage with large corporations, and I've worked in the field of intelligence. And my overall career, there's a chapter in the book on it. It's called The Toolkit. It's given me the tools to understand how I need to engage in certain situations, what tools are proper for the engagement, and what tools to avoid. Because more often than not, what we find is that we have leaders who, they see a nail and they just want to pull out the biggest hammer they can to get rid of that problem, when there's often a faster and smoother solution that's going to lead to more productive answers later on. And my military career has shown me so many different opportunities of what leadership should look like and what it shouldn't, and how to address the situation when you necessarily don't have the power to change the culture that you want, but how to impact your immediate surroundings. Because one of the biggest things that I found about culture and changing it is having a good understanding that the best culture you'll ever find is built on connection and safety, both physical and psychological. And when you can provide that, you are setting not only yourself up for success, but everyone else as well.
That's the key, right? That's the key. It's a full circle scenario, which I think is so incredibly important. You're really helping develop great leaders of tomorrow, now, tackling modern problems of modern leadership. And I think what's great about this is you tackle things that a lot of organizations and individuals are often suffering from, common issues like lack of communication, lack of trust, lack of purpose or direction, definitely increased levels of burnout and stress, mismanagement of talents. Those are just a few of the many problems that you help teams and individuals solve through your coaching services at Legacy Leadership, right?
Oh, yes, sir. And it all starts with the leader themselves. One of the things that I like to teach is the power of continuity, how having the manner in which you act, the manner in which you speak, and the manner in which you think line up, it builds a certain level of continuity that bleeds over into the trust that we have to garner from those that we've been entrusted to lead, and it bleeds over into healthy communication and all the other aspects that you mentioned, much like the vision and purpose that we as the leader have to portray for everyone else. And we have to understand that our why is not our vision. People don't follow us because of our why. They follow us for the vision that we can project, and they feel safe following us within that vision.
That's right, and that's key. That's key to all of this work that you're doing. I want to make mention to everybody that the book is titled Leaders Make Time, Leadership Philosophy Made Simple. And there's a website you can go to connect with Robert Douglas, our special guest, and that is leadersmaketime.com. Leadersmaketime.com. What would be a message for anybody listening that's sort of going through something right now? They're confused, they're frustrated, they're sort of stuck in time, they don't know where to turn, and it doesn't look positive. What would be a positive message you can share with a person like that who might be listening to our show today, Robert?
Any of the best leaders that you can ever read about have always struggled in the beginning, and it's often because they don't concur with what is going on in the world around them. And it takes a strong character to stand up, to do what's right, not always to do things right. One of the best quotes that I heard from Abraham Lincoln is, managers do things right, but leaders do the right thing. And more often than not, what you'll find is that leaders in today, they know their potential, they know what the right answer is, but when they're not congruent with what they know to be right and what they have to do to sustain the life around them, it creates a certain dogma within them. And it's about building that character to stand up for what's right.
That's right. And stand up for yourself and believe in yourself, too, because a lot of self-limiting beliefs, and sometimes the world can tell you you can't do this and don't do that and don't even try that. But having, again, the investment in yourself is one of the great things that you can do in your life. And you are very aware of that, and you work with your clients to help them get to that point. I encourage folks to make the investment by connecting with Robert Douglas. Go to leadersmaketime.com. leadersmaketime.com. Robert, this was a great conversation. I wish you continued success in everything you're doing. Again, thanks very much for your continued service for the good of all of us, and I really appreciate that. And hopefully we'll get a chance to chat some more, expand some more down the line, maybe hear some case studies, success stories too. But this was a pleasure, sir, and hope you enjoyed the time on Close Up Radio as much as I have chatting with you on the program today as well.
Absolutely enjoyed every minute of it, Jim. I greatly appreciate you taking the time.
You are very, very welcome. Keep up the extraordinary work. And, we wish you continued success in all, and I'm sure we'll chat again soon. Robert Douglas of Legacy Leadership here on Close Up Radio. Again, the website, leadersmaketime.com. And the book, Leaders Make Time, Leadership Philosophy Made Simple. We appreciate Robert. We appreciate you as well. Jim Masters, thanking you for your time this time. Till next time, right here on Close Up Radio. Stay tuned. I'll be back in less than 30 minutes with another incredible guest for you on the program. Till then, for all of us, have a terrific day. Thanks for listening, and bye for now.
You have been listening to a broadcast from Close Up Radio, a division of Close Up Television Incorporated. For more information about our show and to be considered for future broadcasts, please visit closeuptelevision.com. You may also learn about us on social media and listen to us on podcast and internet radio. Thank you for joining us, and we hope that you have an empowered and productive day.